your lady friend leave the nest again. That is very sad, makes me feel so bad. You should fly away in the sky away. Be happy like me.
And a buddy, and not a buddy, and
yellow bird, a banana tree.
But a
yellow bird sits all alone like me.
But a banana.
Did your lady friend leave the nest?
Dude, it's too cute. Start the show!
Folks, it is my privilege to welcome you to Cord Killers, our mission to report the intel from the front lines of the cord-cutting revolution so you can put together all the information you need about how to watch what you want, when you want, where you want, on whatever device you want. I'm Tom Merritt.
Hey, man, I'm Brian Brushwood. And more importantly, that was The Hound and Torment of Torment behind the scenes, hanging out in the trailer in full makeup, obviously.
In full makeup.
Waiting to start the show, just goofing around. And
that was the best, is that, like, Hound's got his full burned face on.
Yeah.
Tormund's, like, full-on Giant's Bane beard and everything.
Yeah,
like,
right?
They are visually their characters from Game of Thrones, goofing around, singing funny songs.
That's the weird part about television, is being, quote-unquote, talent. I'm going to use the term loosely here. Mm-hmm. You spend an awful lot of your time just waiting. Just waiting for other people to get their stuff ready. And I thought that was adorable, and it ended up being an earworm that stuck in my brain.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw that actually whenever they posted it a few days ago myself. And it's just fun. And actually, in a lot of the behind-the-scenes interviews and stuff, it feels like a lot of that cast really like each other. And I know that's not unusual. A lot of casts, you know, when they spend that much time together, they have fun. But I see a lot more of that kind of chicanery. It's cool.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a family vibe you get in the off-screen stuff that they post, the behind the scenes and so on.
Yeah. Well, today on the show, we are going to help you figure out all the things you need to know, starting with the primary target. Now, it's going to sound like deja vu to some of you who pay close attention to the show. Parks Associates has some market share numbers. We previously mentioned e-marketer stats based on the use of connected TVs. These new stats are the number of installed devices, but they tell a similar story, which is that everybody's using Roku. 37% of streaming devices in the U.S. installed are Roku devices. That's up 30% from last year. Only Fire TV increased its share. They went from 16% to 24%. Chromecast fell to third at 18%. Apple TV to fourth at 15%. Of course, they're getting a little stale. And Bloomberg's Mark Gurman says that Apple might plan to announce an updated Apple TV with 4K streaming support at a purported Apple announcement, which everybody says is going to happen September 12th. We're just waiting for Apple to make that official. But yeah, I see more apps coming out for Fire TV or Apple TV first these days, but everybody's got a Roku, Brian.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you what, Roku, and it's not just, as we've speculated before, I don't think it's just that they're pre-installed on so many televisions. I think that even people who do not think of themselves as tech-savvy cord cutters, those people are realizing that the Roku is the Netflix box. I'm using air quotes here for the audio.
That's how it started. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Fire's increase makes sense with how hard and what bandwidth Amazon has to push all of that stuff. But I got to admit, I'm really surprised that Chromecast dropping off, is that a side effect of like Google doesn't really care? They just make things, and if they live, then fine. If they die, then who cares? Or
I mean, it kind of, right? I mean, Google had a big push for Chromecast. It shot to the top because it was super cheap. But Google doesn't put the marketing muscle behind, like Amazon, for instance, you're talking about. They turned their Amazon Fire hose on.
Sure.
I remember every box I got had Fire TV on it for months after the Fire TV launched. And Roku goes out there and partners with everybody. So yeah, they're on a bunch of TV sets, but they also have like everybody's logo on their box. They partner with the Walmarts of the world to make sure that they have like good shelf placement, and those cheap $30 Rokus are right there front and center for people to see. So they, you know, they put the hard work in. I think Google just doesn't push it as hard.
So that brings us to the curious incident of Apple sucking at something. And that is a very weird thing for me to wrap my mind around, because normally when Apple tries, they do very, very well at most things they try. But instead, for whatever reason, they've perpetually kept the Apple TV in this weird, mushy middle. And it doesn't surprise me that it's lost even more share.
Yeah. I mean, some of it has to do with the fact that Apple will always have a minority market share. iOS has a minority market share on phones because they limit it. You can only have iOS on our devices. And with Apple TV, that's no different than Roku. Roku only allows Roku OS on Roku devices, but Roku has like 7 different models now. Apple TV has 2, and they're based on size. So I think that Apple's usually fine not selling as large a number as long as they get people in the universe and saying, oh, well, I got an Apple TV. Maybe I'll get an iPhone now and I'll get a Mac, et cetera. And also the fact that the Apple TV has not been seriously refreshed in quite a long time. So we are about to see a 4K version come out. I'm interested to see if Apple thinks that's enough to boost these sales back up, or if they're going to do something else with the Apple TV to make it more compelling. Because on the app side, I mean, they've got PlayStation View and Sling TV, and they announced that Amazon's coming, waiting to see when that actually happens, that they've got Vudu as well. So, I mean, they have got a robust app store, which used to be the knock on the Apple TV.
Yeah, man, I wish I had literally any insight whatsoever to give on this. Instead, all I can do is, I'm totally a bystander in this fight right now.
Which one do you use most often? Because I know you actually watch on laptop most often, really. But
but I'll tell you what, like I have deeply fallen in love with the PlayStation View ecosystem, and I enjoy being able to go downstairs and as a viewing device, you know, set my kids up to watch stuff on the PlayStation 4. In fact, our 4-year-old is learning to navigate all that stuff by herself. And by the way, there's nothing. If you want a wake up call, if you want to understand what a strange, bizarre world we live in, just listen to my 4-year-old daughter say, "Hey, Dad, I need you to set up Amazon Prime, not Netflix, not Hulu, not YouTube. I want Amazon Prime." And, It's astonishing how natural these waters are for her to swim.
It's the way the world's always worked.
Yeah.
As far as she's concerned, right?
Yeah, as best she can tell, sure, yeah. By the way, for the record, 4-year-old, finally old enough, we're starting our third lap, and I'm sad to say likely our final lap, of watching Nickelodeon's Avatar The Last Airbender from the beginning to the end, just going straight through the
It's a family tradition. That's so cool.
It really is. It's wonderful.
You know what else is wonderful? The fact that we survive based on your generosity. We give you a few perks, but really we just say if you get value out of Cord Killers, we ask that you give some value back at patreon.com/cordkillers. It's what keeps us going. We are not beholden to any other corporation or enterprise or advertiser. We are only beholden to you.
Heck yes, man. Head on over to patreon.com/cordkillers. Join the 1,703 people who keep us loud, live, and independent. We owe it all to you guys. And again, some of you guys are saving money. Some of you guys are saving tons of dollars. Why don't you just kick, you know, one per episode back to little old us? We sure would. You'll never notice it. We sure do appreciate it. How about that?
Thank you for your support at patreon.com/cordkillers. And now, because you support us, here's how to watch stuff. Bunch of Hulu news came out this past week. Hulu Live TV got added to the Xbox 360 app. Seems like an interesting choice for the next app to support that. Remember, Hulu Live TV is when you can watch like a cable TV type service through Hulu, not just the on-demand stuff. Hulu Live TV can now be streamed to the browser. It's in beta for Windows and Mac OS. So they say you don't have all the functions you would normally have if you're using this on another platform, but those will be added over time. And Hulu announced a deal to carry the CW on its live TV service. So Hulu Live now has deals with all 5 major English language U.S. broadcasters, and that will arrive in select markets first with other affiliates joining over time. I think YouTube's the only other one that has a deal with CW in the U.S.
I was about to say, I have the general vibe that the CW is pretty friendly about exploring all of these things. They're one of the first to offer, is their app free? Am I remembering that correct?
Yeah, and that was kind of the deal. CW pulled all their on-demand stuff off of Hulu, if you recall, and put all their focus on their CW app, which is free with ads. But that was kind of the only way to get CW until it showed up on YouTube Live, where you can get it on demand. It's basically the same thing you would get on the free CW app, but on YouTube Live. Now Hulu's going to have it as well.
Heck yeah, man. Hopefully they keep that forward focus going onward here. Man, not much to say about this, right?
Well, okay, you're happily living in PlayStation View land, yeah, right?
I really am. It's pretty great.
And so if you're not, for me, this is a little more exciting because I watch a lot of the Flash and Arrow and Supergirl, which are on the CW. So I kind of like having more options for that. But frankly, I get those free over the air and record them to a DVR. So unless you're giving me something that's easier than that, that part of this doesn't excite me that much. But I do like seeing more and more of these kind of features being added to all these services. What would it take to pry your eyeballs away from PlayStation View? What do you think a service would need to do to turn your head and say, well, hold on, I'm not married to PlayStation View. I can do whatever I want.
The one bummer about PlayStation View is that it's a true DVR experience, which means you get to play the guessing game of exactly how long a commercial break is. And in the case of certain shows, I'm looking at you, Preacher, it could be an astonishing 4.5 minutes of ads between one act.
I have not figured out the pattern yet myself.
I mean, right? It's like, yeah, it's like you're gambling. You're like, surely 2 minutes is enough. Nope. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Keep on going, right? I think that's what it'll have to take. But even then, there's part of me that perversely is enjoying the guessing game that I'm playing right now, you know?
Yeah, I do like that, the aspect of PlayStation View that I don't have to think. Preacher just shows up in my shows. I press play. It used to be worse about trying to fool me to use the on-demand version where you can't fast-forward the commercials, but lately it doesn't even do that. I'll even get two DVR versions from two different recordings, two different times. I just wish they'd lift the 28-day limit, which I know YouTube TV does, but YouTube TV also makes you watch the on-demand version if it's available, which makes you watch ads. So,
sorry. Hold on. The 28-day limit is the maximum amount of time you're able to keep stuff archived? Is that what it is?
Yeah. PlayStation View has a 28-day limit that says after 28 days, it gets rid of it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I've never run into that.
Well, and what I found out is because it will record alternate viewings, right? Like it'll record as many other airings, as long as somebody's re-airing it somewhere, which happens on AMC all the time.
Sure.
You almost never lose it while it's in season. Now, once it goes off the air, you may.
Yeah.
It may finally expire. But yeah, I've gone and watched stuff that's older than 4 weeks because I'm watching a rerun that was at 3 a.m. on Tuesday or something.
Right. No, makes sense. Yeah, I don't know what else to say outside of good on you, Hulu. How about that?
Good on you, Hulu, for getting CW. Now, then get some more DVR features, for goodness sake. But yes, competition is good. Let's talk about what to watch.
Not like real estate. It's all about location.
Under surveillance.
The segment is actually called Under Surveillance. The Tick arrived on Amazon Friday, but here's what's interesting. Only half of the season arrived. Creator Ben Edlund told Cinema Blend that they broke the season up in two on purpose. Edlund said, "The binge-watching issue is, I see it, as its perfect dive from a high board, and there's no splash. We're all sort of veterans of the opposite of that. Fan energy wants to have a culture to express itself in. So if you split a season and give a gap in between, you get anticipation. You get people talking about what happened." Justin Robert Young has said the same thing a lot, which is you get that water cooler effect.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to say both of them are wrong, but I think maybe both of them are wrong. Like, by this logic, you know, why ever release a whole novel at once? Everything should be broken into serialized.
Charles Dickens was making the same argument back when they started to put his novels out all in one.
Yeah, right?
Serializing them through magazines.
I'm gonna say that's a fine, quote unquote, perfectly legitimate reason, aka excuse, for releasing it the way you guys do. But I'm not gonna pretend that it is a superior experience for the folks at home. And we can point to the fact, like, everyone I've talked to who watched Westworld when it came out week over week was very frustrated with the season. Everybody who watched it as a binging experience loved it. And a lot of that was because week over week, there are certain surprises that they're teasing and very, you know, coyly setting up that get paid off near the end of the season. Whereas when you watch week after week and it's like you figure it out after the third or fourth episode, that's not a problem when you're able to just keep, you know, munching and suddenly the ending is there and the twist is there and you're like, oh, what a clever way that happened.
I'm going to say they're right that there is something special about that week to week suspense. And especially those of us who grew up watching television prior to the DVR, we remember how difficult it was to record things on VHS and how therefore we continued to watch things as appointment because we kind of had to. And because that's the way everybody did it. And there was this built-in water cooler culture of, did you see Lost? Did you see X-Files last night? And yes, that was fun. But we did it because we had to. Now we have the choice. And I read a headline, I wish I could remember where, I think maybe Ars Technica, that Game of Thrones is the only appointment viewing left in general. That Game of Thrones is the thing where people are saying, yes, I will watch it the minute it comes out every week, whether it's the finale or not, because I want to watch it along with everybody else and talk about it the next day. But that most shows that people watch, they kind of watch on their own schedule because they either get them on demand or they get them on a DVR and they let them build up. And we have certain shows that we just let build up. And then we know some weekend we're like, oh, let's finish that one. Let's finish Orphan Black. Let's finish The Americans. Not because we don't like them, but because it just fits our schedule better. Well, and so I think it becomes an event to say, this is the show where we're going to dole it out slowly because we know you all love that. But it doesn't work for most shows. And I don't think The Tick is one of them that it does.
Yes. And you just nailed it, which is number one, really all that's happening by releasing all of the episodes of an entire season all at once. Essentially, what you're doing is you're novelizing what was a serial beforehand. So there's nothing wrong with doing it that way. What I don't like is acting like you're doing us a favor, hiding behind, look at us, we're so generous, we're creating this water cooler experience for you. That's a bunch of dog crap, right? Yeah. I mean, that's marketing hype.
I mean, I don't want to insult dog crap, but yeah. I think you're not doing me a favor. You're choosing a way to put it out. And if your story fits that way to put out, great. But if it doesn't, you didn't do me any favor at all. And honestly, breaking it up into 6 and 6 just feels like you're giving me two shorter seasons, and giving me anticipation.
Exactly. Like, let's give you the benefit of the doubt and say that you truly did think this was the superior way to experience it. Then you would do week after week after week. It would be like the way I experienced Fargo or Game of Thrones or
and
so
Hulu
on.
Does that. Handmaid's Tale, they did that with, and they do that with a lot of their originals.
Sure. But I'm just flat out going to call it dog crap that you're not making anything better. That's a lie, and you're lying to our face.
Stop lying to yourselves, too.
Yeah.
I mean, really, look deep inside. Eli Craig, who made Tucker and Dale versus Evil, parodying the Cabin in the Woods horror genre, has a new movie called Little Evil that parodies the possessed child horror genre. Little Evil stars Adam Scott and Evangeline Lilly and premieres September 1st. Did you get a chance to take a look at this?
Do you know what's funny is I saw the story, but for some reason I did not catch the trailer. Can we see just a few minutes of this or a few seconds?
Yeah, I mean, it is what you expect, which is he's got a beautiful wife, Evangeline Lilly. She comes with a son who looks exactly like every horror child ever.
Am I guessing that in a similar vein to Tucker and Dale versus Evil, he's actually not evil, but just seen that way?
I'm curious because the trailer makes it feel like he really is evil and Adam Scott's character is the only one who notices, right? And the mom is just denying it. So it could be a play on mothers not wanting to see the bad that their children do. Or the trailer could be lying to us and taking us down a primrose path. I don't know.
Look, we're doing you a favor, Tom. We're going to release the trailer in 12 steps. Each one will be 10 seconds at a time. So you can talk about it at the water cooler.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Adam Scott and Evangeline Lilly.
I'll tell you this much,
really,
man.
Like
I
Tucker
loved,
and Dale versus Evil.
Yeah. Capital yeah. LOVED, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. If you haven't seen it, please do yourself a favor and just jump right in because it is so, so good.
Ross Duffer told Vulture that he and his brother are thinking Stranger Things will wrap up in 4 seasons. Netflix has renewed the series for a 3rd season, and the 2nd season arrives October 27th. But they may say they say that they think that their story finally ends after the 4th, and that'll be it.
Good. Good on them. Good on them. 4 seasons in no way matches any of the archetypes that we picture for this stuff. It has no precedent. It's probably perfect. It's probably the exact right thing to do.
Like, if you know your story, and these guys, by all accounts, I mean, we've only seen 1 season, but they seem to know their story really well. We'll see if they could pull it off again in 2. Then I would trust them with that, unless I'm misreading it, and they mean it's going to wrap up in a 4 seasons hotel.
You know what? Either or. Could be either way.
That might work, too. You're right. I don't want to judge. Netflix will stream Russell Simmons' Def Comedy Jam 25th anniversary special this autumn. Lineup includes Dave Chappelle, Kevin Hart, Tracy Morgan, and Cat Williams, among others. A reboot of the series is coming to HBO in November, but it'll be called All Def Comedy, so that 25 years from now, they can have a 25th anniversary of All Def Comedy, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, smart. See, that's playing the long con.
Yeah. Lots of good comedy stuff coming to Netflix. Interesting, the HBO crossover here. Good on Russell Simmons to be able to make deals with both, right?
Yeah, dude. No, this is smart all the way around for them. Congratulations. 25 years, man. Can't believe so much time has passed. That's amazing.
And a teaser for the next season of Black Mirror is out with episode titles and short clips. No date was revealed, but there's a Star Trek looking episode, and there's
I'm sorry. Say those words again. There's a what?
Star Trek looking episode.
I'm sorry. It sounded like we were talking about Black Mirror, though.
USS Callister, and the 2 seconds of video show a very Star Trek looking crew on a Star Trek looking ship.
Okay, so let's place our bets now. What are the odds that this is like some Vive fantasy or some virtual world or some game they're playing? There's no way. Like,
well, Hang the DJ looks very much like a bunch of different Black Mirrors where, oh, there's this new technology that lets us interact socially, but then it goes bad, right?
Yeah.
Like that, I get that from the 3 seconds. The USS Callister could definitely be another. What was it? Santa Rosa? Was that the one?
Where it was a simulated reality that you could go to even if you were a locked in body.
Right. So maybe Callister is along those same lines, but it could just be futuristic, too.
That would be.
They did one that was the talent show, the reality show one that was just set in the future.
Yeah, but it didn't wear its futureness on its sleeve the way it looks like this
the
one.
Callister
might, you know?
Is like full on Star Trek parody.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So I don't know.
Are you doubting Black Mirror?
Look, man. Hey, I've learned. I'm smart enough to know not to call that shot.
Yeah, Gray Mirror. All right, let's talk about what we've actually been watching. Brian, starting with you, looks like you've got the ones we will be talking about in spoiler time. Basically.
Heck yes, but more importantly, I looked right up in that sky and I saw the face of freaking God. It was amazing. Thank you so much for covering for me last week when I took the family up in an RV battle wagon. We did our own
to the eclipse.
Yeah. We.
That's what you mean.
That is exactly what I mean. So we didn't know where we would end up. We were going to keep all of our options open based on the weather. And so we just hopped in an RV and drove north until we were able to find out a place. Turned out that the place that we went to was freaking beautiful. It was amazing. It was a lake
was it
in the
lake
middle
of the Ozarks, Brian.
It was not.
Did you set up
Ozark.
A lot of money laundering
I did,
operation?
I did think about. I looked at the Ozarks. Ended up going to Nebraska. There's a beautiful place. Special thanks to Nick Freeland and his family for letting us hang out there. But we were in the water the moment that the totality happened. It was extraordinary and wonderful.
Oh, it looked like you were in an amazing place. I saw the pictures.
Now if this was podcast in time, I would have tons of podcasts to tell you about that I've been watching or listening to, but not so much on the video content.
Oh, so that, because that's what you did while you're driving, I'm guessing?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I had to drive the RV battle wagon. It was like flexing my entire body for 8 hours straight, 4 days in a row. It was really tough.
It gives you some respect for semi drivers, doesn't it?
Yeah, no. And some of our most ardent fans are semi drivers. So totally. let me tip my hat to you guys right now. Thank you for all you do. You're better people than I am. I couldn't possibly do that.
So Game of Thrones, Rick and Morty, Firefly, and the eclipse, and the moon blocking out the sun in the middle of the day.
And
putting the world into total darkness.
Pretty extraordinary. If you have the means, I highly recommend it. Have you ever seen a total eclipse?
I have not seen a total. Hold on. I was in a total eclipse in 1978, when it passed through Illinois. And I remember the teachers telling us not to look at the sky. And I remember the shadow box of it. But I also don't remember it getting dark.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we were in total where my school was, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Well, I'll say this much. If you have the means, I highly recommend it. Total eclipse is fundamentally different from any partial anything I've ever seen before. It really, believe the hype.
I actually did get a chance to finally watch Ozark, because a lot of my television watching is determined by my wife.
Yep.
Because we watched. It's one of the things we love to do together. So we try very much to watch things together. And she finally said, well, let's watch Ozark. It's way intense for her. So we're not getting to binge through it. She has to take breaks. But man, I didn't doubt it when you and Scott Johnson and everybody were telling me you have to watch it. But it is so good. It is so well done and so compelling. And Jason Bateman is not what any of you think if you haven't watched it. Because he is very good and very Jason Bateman, but he ain't funny at all.
No, I mean,
he is the Bluth without the funny part, without the jokey part. He's just calm and like, okay, here's the practical thing I'm going to do now.
Right. Well, and you get what I was talking about. Like, he has that superpower. His superpower is I have one gift, and that is to say the exact right words that will keep me alive for 20 more minutes. And he just keeps using that power. And you, as he goes into those situations, you're like, well, I know he's gonna survive because he has one superpower, right? But I have no idea what he's gonna say to make this work.
And I probably a parody of myself at this point, because I said this about Justified, where I'm like, oh, that Kentucky feel really feels like home to me. But man, we vacationed at Lake of the Ozarks. We went to Silver Dollar City. We went to Branson. I went, and my senior trip was at the Tantara Resort in Lake of the Ozarks. This is very familiar country. And so episode one is mostly in Chicago, which is fine. But when they get there in the Ozarks in episode two, I really am having not flashbacks, but feelings of familiarity, because they shot there.
Yeah.
And this isn't like, oh, okay, that's the part of Los Angeles that kind of looks like the Ozarks. Like, no, that's definitely the Ozarks. Like, I can smell in my brain what that place smells like.
Yeah.
Right,
my parents, when I was in high school, my parents bought a place on the San Bernard River down in Houston, which, you know, I'm sure right now is completely flooded and so on. But they, like going down there was like a retreat and a little dose of normalcy while I was off at college and so on. So watching Ozark, there were waves of nostalgia. What, just the whole Riverhouse mentality, that whole vibe, right?
Yeah. And the thing with going to the boat to get to the dock to get the boat off the coast of the house and I could smell that lake.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
Yeah. Hey. A couple more things before we move on from what we're watching. One, Twin Peaks, I cover very thoroughly on an entire podcast called Damn Fine Podcast that I do with Ron Richards. But just to update you, after part 16, I'm so glad that I have invested the time in this. I'm so glad that I have been patient with David Lynch and trusted his vision, because it is so paying off now.
Really?
And granted, I know you didn't get into Twin Peaks season one, and that's fine. I've told people, like, if you didn't get into Twin Peaks in the beginning, this isn't going to change your mind. But let me tell you, if you did like Twin Peaks season one and season two, go stick with it. Muddle through it if it starts to frustrate you. It is absolutely worth the payoff. I mean, it is a masterclass in tension building. So good.
Wow. So is it done? That's the whole series you watch?
No, That was the third to last episode. Next week is the last airing. They're airing the last two parts back to back.
Wow. Dude, hearing that it pays off makes my day. I'm really, really happy to hear that for you, man.
And then finally, I want to give a shout out to a YouTube series called Secrets of the Citadel, because one of the things my wife and I have been doing is just binging on Game of Thrones theory videos. Leading up to the finale, we were watching all of these things about who is Jon Snow's parents and all of this sort of stuff. And the Secrets of the Citadel is one of the best done, most well-researched and put together versions. She picks very good visuals and art and stills from the show to illustrate her points, but it's like a history class. Like, I know there's that Hardcore Westeros podcast that sort of took the Dan Carlin style and did an audio podcast.
Yes.
This isn't like Dan Carlin, but the level of information about Westeros and Essos and A Song of Ice and Fire is definitely on that level. And I've learned a lot about what the world that George R. R. Martin created by watching Secrets of the Citadel.
Right on. Worth me checking out, given that I'm sort of casually watching as we enter the final six episodes.
Yeah. I would just pop into that channel and look for a title that catches your eye, because she's got them about all kinds of kings and past events. And if you're like, well, I always wanted to know a little bit more about that, they're usually around 10 minutes long, and definitely worth, you know, just kind of exploring.
Right on.
Hey, real quickly, we have a time traveler, not the Doctor, but I as Actar, to tell you what's coming up in September.
It's September. Here's what's new to watch online. Starting September 1st, you can catch the third season of Narcos on Netflix. This season takes place after the death of Pablo Escobar. 1 week later, check out the fourth season of BoJack Horseman on September 8th. The first season was a bit rocky, but the other two were pretty good. On the movie front, Netflix is picking up Jaws, as well as Jaws 2, Jaws 3, and Jaws the Revenge on the 1st of September. Martin Scorsese's documentary on my favorite Beatle, George Harrison Living in the Material World, hits Netflix on September 15th. If you're feeling nostalgic for older television shows, Hulu is bringing the complete runs of Full House, Perfect Strangers, and Family Matters online on September 29th. If that's not enough, Netflix has new episodes of Fuller House starting on September 22nd. If you would rather watch zombies instead of the Tanners, Netflix has season 7 of The Walking Dead starting on September 8th. On September 22nd, you can stream Transparent season 4 over on Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime will also begin streaming NFL football games starting on Thursday, September 28th. The first game is scheduled to be the Chicago Bears versus the Green Bay Packers. If you want to know more, you should really check out cnet.com/netpicks. I'm Ayaz Akhtar, and I'll see you online.
Well, that brings us to Bryce, who's been on the lookout for things. Bryce?
Hey, we got a recommendation from Brian L. He sent a recommendation that I think is going to be good for the whole family. He writes, my suggestion for On the Lookout is the Netflix original The Troll Hunters. Fun and enjoyable for all ages. The only mistake I made was introducing the show to my granddaughter before bedtime. Three episodes later, we finally convinced her to go to bed, knowing it'll be the only way to watch the rest of the episodes on future visits. On a side note, it was a great motivator for clearing the entire dinner plate and picking up toys. Hoping for season 2 quickly, though the repeatability of season 1 won't be a problem for my granddaughter. Keep up the good work. Love the show. Thank you, Brian L. So Trollhunters is about Jim, who is like a high schooler who lives in the human world and then is chosen to be the troll hunter. There's like a civilization under the human world where trolls live, but then there are also evil trolls called Gum-Gums. And so now he becomes the troll hunter to save the good trolls from the bad trolls. And I watched the first episode today right before the show, and it was actually pretty good. It was pretty good. It's also written by Guillermo del Toro, and you really feel it. You really feel it in terms of like, even just like the monster.
You just feel like a heavy sadness in your heart watching it. You feel the despair of a child learning to live under a Nazi new dad. Or
I'm not going to put that behind. I'm not going to put that ahead of it. But I think it was really cool, and I actually think I'm going to watch a little bit more of it when I get home. So there are 26 episodes now. They're saying that they're going to make it's like a four arc, like 52 episodes, basically. So like this is supposedly half of the story. So another 13 episodes are going to come out sometime this year with a final 13, presumably to be next year. And that's all on Netflix. So check it out.
So appropriate for which of my kids? I got a 13-year-old, 9-year-old, and a 4-year-old.
I would probably say definitely the 13-year-old, maybe the 9-year-old. It starts off with some... It starts off with a lot of action.
So like too heavy for Callie, for my 4-year-old?
I don't know children very well. There's not cusses and blood and stuff.
I didn't mean
to avoid eye contact with your children, Brian.
Make it real specific, sorry.
What I saw was very family-friendly. It's not too scary. It's not very scary.
Got it.
I guess is okay, the best thing I can say.
But it is themed as a scary-ish thing.
There's kind of suspense and they only come out at night and they are hurt by the sunlight or whatever. So I could see it being
Cassidy. Weird, but. So would I introduce mm-hmm. Cassidy to my children is what you're asking.
Okay.
No,
I'm talking about Preacher. It doesn't sound like it's as bad as Cassidy.
Yeah, no, you watch Preacher. You don't watch Preacher?
I didn't finish season one.
Doggone it.
Sorry about that.
Never mind.
So that's Troll Hunters, and it's not the Trolls. I thought going into this email that I thought it would be the Trolls franchise of movies
and
toys.
It's about a guy trying to get those DVDs. I'm the Troll Hunter.
No.
You got to pay the troll toll.
Okay.
Hey, folks, if you got something we should be on the lookout for, email us, cordkillers@gmail.com. Now, Brian shouldn't have to drive himself in an RV. Help a brother out and support his other enterprises like this one.
Yeah, man. Hey, Stabby, if you heard this before, but me and Jason Murphy, we have a little show that we do. It's called The Modern Rogue. I'm a little bit super proud of it. Yeah, recently we went to, by the way, youtube.com/modernrogue is where you can see all the episodes. Just did a brand new episode on why your password is probably terrible and why it's the government's fault. I got to tell you, went out, met a bunch of people, and did a live show, two nights ago.
Yeah.
I was astonished at how many people walked up and said, no, scam school is great and all. And then their eyes get wide and they're like, but I love The Modern Rogue. It's really good. You're really onto something with this. So if you haven't seen it, please check it out. The Modern Rogue, it's on YouTube, youtube.com/modernrogue.
I just realized, I don't know why I'm too dumb, because I saw this episode. We should totally have you on Daily Tech News Show to talk about the password episode.
Sure. Yeah, man. Look, I know a thing or two about tech, I'm told.
Yeah. Yeah. I have you on anyway. Now we have a direct promotional reason. There's no reason not to. We'll figure that out later.
Right.
After the front lines.
Frontlines.
CBS announced a deal to acquire a major Australian national broadcaster called 10. Apparently because it is on channel 10. It's actually one of the three main national broadcasters. They've been in financial problems. There were worries that Rupert Murdoch was going to be able to buy them. They're going to change laws in Australia to allow Rupert Murdoch to buy them. But CBS is going to get it. And a lot of people are thinking that CBS might launch CBS All Access in Australia as a result, because recently, as we mentioned, they are going to launch it in Canada.
Right on. Meanwhile, an app for Vudu has arrived for Apple TV. You can't make purchases from it, but you can access your library and any ad-supported free streaming videos. Tom, I got to tell you, this kind of thing sounds like a deal killer for some people, but this would exactly fit my lifestyle. I very rarely buy anything inside of an app. I almost always do it, from a mobile device or from a desktop.
I find it annoying sometimes when I do run into the rare situation where I want to buy it from within the app and I'm on Apple TV and nobody wants to let Apple take a 30% cut. So none of the apps do that. But that said, I really don't do it that often either. And I've always got a phone that I can log into and be like, boop, 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 done. That shows up.
Yeah, fair enough.
ESPN has reached a multi-year agreement to air and stream top-ranked boxing matches in the U.S. and Canada. That would include airing them on ESPN's forthcoming streaming-only service. And I think that's the interesting thing here, Brian, is that they signed a new sports deal and included their streaming service as part of the main deal. We get to air whatever we want, wherever we want.
Yeah, I think you're going to see more and more of that long-term savvy thinking about protecting people's rights to do all that. Speaking of which, did you watch the boxing match, the Mayweather-McGregor?
Oh, the Mayweather. No, I did not.
Neither did I, but man, oh man, did the world care about two guys punching each other.
A friend of mine had people over at her house, paid the $99 to get the Showtime app version of it. She's not even a fan of boxing. She just did it for fun.
Speaking of which, I remember we were out. It affected attendance at our live stage show that we were doing. But afterwards, people were like, no, it's delayed due to complications with the streaming of the pay-per-view stuff. So it's like, of all the things that would cause everyone to say like, whoa, time out, everybody wait, their ability to get paid would be
pull
one
your
of them.
Punches.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You got the next one.
Oh, yeah, that would explain that awkward pause. Variety reports that Netflix has put its name on some boutique strains of legal marijuana for sale. I'm sorry, it almost sounded like I just read these words. Let me read them again. Variety reports that Netflix has put its name on some boutique strains of legal marijuana for sale this past weekend at a pop-up shop inside the Alternative Herbal Health Services dispensary in West Hollywood. The move is in promotion of Disjointed, which premieres on Netflix Friday. One of the most astonishing things in my entire life is watching the repeal of marijuana prohibition in my lifetime. No matter what you're into or what you believe is good or bad for people to do to their bodies, it's genuinely an astonishing thing to watch happening.
Well, having lived in Austin with people who hid things in film canisters and then hid the film canisters in case somebody came into their house. And now they're like, oh, yeah, we have a Netflix branded thing of health pot.
Yeah. Well, and on my ride home, I was driving through, five different states. And of course, that's the other weird part is the patchwork quilt we have of laws. Going through Oklahoma City, there was a giant billboard that said it had a giant pot leaf and it said, until it's legal, call Ed. We all know it's eventually going to get legal here. We all understand it's not legal now. Also, I'm a lawyer. My name is Ed.
I can help you for the time being. Yeah,
it was crazy.
No, it's crazy. App Annie estimates that the iOS and Android version of the HBO Now app has generated $19 million of revenue in the U.S. since the premiere of Game of Thrones. For the week of August 20th, it was the top grossing app on any mobile platform, Android or iOS, passing Pandora and Netflix. HBO Now is not consistently going to be in front of Netflix right now, but it shows the power of the hit. If you get the thing that people want to watch, in this case, Game of Thrones, they will come. And that's what Netflix has been banking on with throwing so many shows out there. They're like, it has to be a hit with somebody, and then we'll get a hit for somebody else, and that'll keep people coming in. HBO has a more limited approach in the number of shows that they're launching, and then trying to use premium movies as the other hook.
Yeah, two things. First of all, I'm reading a book called Hitmakers by Derek Thompson, in which he talks about this exact phenomenon, and he talks about the fact that you have different subscription models between HBO versus NBC. NBC is perpetually trying to figure out how to generally please a very wide, very shallow base, whereas HBO is able to be like, we don't care which of these things you like, as long as enough of you like him very specifically. And he dissects the AMC model, where AMC was there was a time that AMC was on the verge of being dropped from a lot of cable subscriptions, and they're like, we need that $60 or 60 cents per subscriber in order to stay alive. So they very specifically went out and created Mad Men, knowing that it would not be a big hit, but it would resonate very, very deeply with just enough people that they would howl if they were dropped off of Comcast or Time Warner or that kind of stuff. That's really interesting. Now, when it says top grossing, because I assume, how do you figure the gross on that? Because, of course, the app is free.
So App Annie looks at the number of downloads and the cost of subscribing to that, and then just multiplies. It basically says, okay, people are paying $15 a month, so it's grossing this. Yes, Apple takes a cut of that. So it's not really revenue. All of it isn't revenue for HBO, but this is the amount that it's generating.
Got it. Meanwhile, Facebook and Twitter have reached an agreement with Stadium to stream college football games. Facebook will have 15 games from Conference USA and Mountain West. Twitter has not announced its slate, but it will show Alabama A&M against Alabama Birmingham.
Are you ready for some baseball?
That's what dodgeball was when I was a kid, basically.
Oh, I totally face. Want Facebook to promote all of their sports as baseball now. Please, please do that. All right, let's get to some dispatches from the front. So big thanks again for Sean Hollister and Baby June filling in for Brian last week on the show and talking to us about MoviePass, because Sean actually got to talk to the CEO of MoviePass. Got a bunch of you wrote in. We're going to read a couple representative emails here. Jeff says, I used MoviePass back when it was $45 to $50 a month for those in the L.A. area, and I enjoyed it for the time I had it. Got lots of bonus reward points from theaters. However, it has changed since then for the better. Back then, there was no online ordering with it. You had to be at the theater to activate the account to make a purchase, so it was a gas cost. It also included a six-month cooldown period if you canceled, so you can't just use it for winter blockbuster season and then start it up the next summer. At the $10 a month level, I don't see a reason to let it lapse, though. Data signal can be an issue, so finding out what theaters have dead zones by the box office and activating the card in the parking lot is important. However, with online ordering, I see this going to be a lesser issue. If you have a theater nearby with a rewards program, it is a must-have. If you go to one movie a month, it's a huge discount. If you go to two movies every 3 months, based on my local market, it's still a deal.
Right on. Kyle writes in from Tampa saying he signed up for the service the day after the price change. He was very excited about the service, seeing as how he typically sees at least one movie a month. First few days of the service, the app was not working very well due to the influx of new users. I was told to buy a ticket and then send them the receipt and they will refund the price, which I was fine with. Now, a week later, I have found that the app is working pretty well and it is very convenient to just open the app, select his theater, remove his seat or reserve a seat and have his ticket ready at the box office. This does only work if MP has a movie pass to sign a deal with that specific theater due to e-tickets. He says he's found his movie-going experience was much more enjoyable. You feel like such a badass just opening the phone a few minutes before and then showing up and watching the movie. On top of that, says he went to see movies that he never would have seen in theaters, which, by the way, I think that's the for me, the Netflix experience, where it's like a lot of movies that I would not have on purpose invested in. I don't feel bad about going for. He said he can just relax and enjoy a movie he wouldn't likely have enjoyed or even have paid to see, and he doesn't feel bad throwing the theater a couple of bucks for a snack or a drink. And thank goodness for that, because those poor theaters, that's the only way they make any money. He says even if the current pricing only lasts 12 to 18 months, he thinks it'll be worth it in the long run, and given that movie chains more time to consider their own subscription service down the road.
Yeah, on Daily Tech News Show, a bunch of people from the UK wrote in saying they already have subscription services, but they're from the theater chains. And I think that also explains one of AMC's problems is they probably want to do this themselves. They're just not ready to launch it, and they don't like MoviePass encroaching on their territory. Bryce, I know you were saying you've bought MoviePass in Austin, right? You're going to try this out?
Yeah, I ordered one since last week's episode. It's going to take a while to get here because I think they're just making a lot of cards, so... once I get it in, I'm going to definitely try it out. I'm excited to go and see a movie and have way lower stakes on hoping it's a good movie.
Yeah.
That's been keeping me out of the theaters for sure.
Yeah. And then Steve wrote in and says he ran across a cool website for sports fans who are looking to cut the cord. Just type where can I watch my .team into your browser, and you can quickly find out which package is best for watching NFL or NCAA teams. He says it's only got those for now, but hopefully they'll add more sports later. I thought I'd pass along this cool new service that helps people navigate the proliferation of streaming services.
And
they even
have
Sling Network broken down by Orange and Blue. They have YouTube TV, PlayStation View. My problem was I couldn't type in Los Angeles Rams. It just wouldn't take that. I don't know why. So the site's in its early days. I think they're still building it out and making it work. There, that worked for you. Why didn't that work for me?
Yeah, for me, when I was using it earlier before the show, there's like a text box in the center of the screen, and I don't think it's coded right, so it covers it up. So you want to use the one on the left, and that'll give you a little better access.
So it'll probably get better the more people use it and the more time they have. But yeah, go check it out. Where can I watch my .team?
Right on.
Brian Brushwood, it's good to have you back.
Dude, it's good to be back. I'm excited about Spoiler in Time. By the way, quick reminder, if you are a patron, you, of course, get both of these back-to-back in your very own feed. That is better than the regular feed. If you're on the regular feed, you're an inferior person.
Well, okay.
You're a bad person, and you should give us money.
I don't think they're bad or inferior,
Brian. No, they're bad. No, they're awful. I was talking to God the other day. He was like, you know who I hate? People who listen for free on Cord Killers.
So is this what... wait, I was excited to see the eclipse, happens to you when you see the eclipse?
The doctor showed up, and he was just like, well, I was going to pick one of your viewers as my new companion, but I found out some of them aren't paying, and then he
left. Now you're talking about Doctor Who?
I even got his gender wrong because it's in the past. References will get better if people sign up at patreon.com/...
That's good motivation. Our website is cordkillers.com. Our email address is cordkillers@gmail.com. And we're live on diamondclub.tv Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Insert MacGyver reference here.
Hey, guys. Tom and Brian here. We just wanted to say thank you to all of our $5 patrons who keep us loud, live, and independent. You guys make Cord Killers the production that it is.
Your name appears in the video credits and appears in our hearts. And if you'd like to become one of them or see who they are, you can go to patreon.com/cordkillers.
You'll need to do more than just go there, though. You'll have to sign up and, you know, pledge an amount. But
unless you just want to see who they are.
Well, I mean, you could gawk. That's a little creepy, isn't it?
If you want to be a gawker,
let's go.
With you.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.